everyone, and welcome to a brand new week of the Daily Caller Podcast. It's 12th day of August. Wow. 2019. Yes, weekend is still lingering in my head. But you know what's not lingering in me anywhere? All that waste and filth and all those bad things that used to be. Yes, I'm talking about our sponsor, Life Change Tea. Let me tell you about Life Change Tea. It is a game changer. Since I've been drinking Life Change Tea, I've noticed I'm feeling so much better. And I can't tell you how much more energy I have. I got the old pep back in my old step. Does it work? Life Change Tea, well, it's a proprietary herbal formula. It's a gentle daily cleanse designed to rid your body of harmful intruders. Let's face it, our food was different 60 years ago. Better, minimally processed, not full of pesticides. It was nourishing and healthy for your body. Today, not so much. Pesticides, herbicides, GMOs, heavy processing, they've all depleted our food of nutrition. It's no wonder you feel so run down. Try it for yourself. Go to GetTheTea.com now. That's GetTheTea.com. Get ready for more energy. I drink it every day. It tastes good. Use as directed. Trust me on that. Use as directed. And I've been getting emails from you guys saying that you've ordered the tea. I appreciate the hell out of it. It shows support for the show. And that means the world to me. And as a listener to the Daily Caller Podcast, if you enter the promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, might have to be a capital D. I don't know. Try it either way. But my first name gets you free shipping. You can't beat it. And you get that stuff cleaned right out of you. Keeps you regular. Gets your body absorbing the goodness again. And keeps the bad stuff moving all the way through. Go to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give it a shot today. It's Monday. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for listening. Thanks for tuning in, telling a friend, clicking play, downloading, grabbing their phones and forcing them to do a subscribe or whatever. However you turn them on to it. I appreciate, get him in a headlock. Nah, probably don't do that. Oh, man, what a weekend it has been. You can email me, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. You can do that email address to enter to win the signed copy of Liz Wheeler's books, which we'll be doing. I've got an interview scheduled for Thursday, so you can enter until Thursday if you want to win an autographed copy of Liz Wheeler's new book, Tipping Points. Then they'll be gone, so you'll be out of luck. So you've got until Thursday. Oh, so much to get to. I am at the end of the program. I filled in on radio all last week. I'm not doing any filling on radio this week, so I get to sort of get back on a normal schedule. But on Friday, I did a story that it was like, I would love to do this on the show. And I thought it was done, frankly, so well that I'm just going to play that. Instead, because trying to recapture magic, you can never recreate something that is ad-libbed and done really well. So we're just going to play that. And it features my friend Brian Darling. He comes in after a segment. He's a frequent guest on this show, my emergency guest on the program when I can't get one. So it's cut up at the end. It'll all flow. You won't notice the difference. But it was so damn funny. And it's about these liberals who wrote letters to the Huffington Post explaining why they are not having children because of climate change and the morality of having children in an era of climate change. And if you think that sounds crazy, you ain't heard nothing yet. The real people, presumably Huffington Post checked out and found out they're real people. But if you were to do a parody, if you just wanted to mock some loony leftists, you couldn't do a better job than what they do for themselves. And you've got to hear the stories. We read them. We bring back the Civil War music for it. The sad tale of woe. There's a woman, 27, looking to get her tubes tied. I mean, that's how insane they are. Bunch of people just breaking out and crying over the fate of the planet. You can't make this up. You got to hear it. That's the last bit of the show. So it'll go right into that, and then I'll wrap up the show after that. But I just, instead of trying to recreate it here and myself, I thought it'd be better to do it with Brian. So you'll hear it as it was live on the radio. That's why suddenly it'll sound different and there'll be music playing and intros and outros. And it's not like I'm getting overly technical with the stuff. That's why. It's from the radio. All right. So it's Monday. What happened over the weekend? Did anything happen over the weekend? I'm unfamiliar with the news that happened over the weekend. I feel like oh, yes, that's right. Jeffrey Epstein was suicided. Is that a word? Oh, yes, the world's latest pedophile, disgusting human being, Jeffrey Epstein, allegedly hung himself in his prison cell. Now, this is a mess for a great number of reasons. First of all, his victims wanted their day in court. They wanted to be able to accuse him. They wanted to be able to see him convicted. They wanted him to spend a long time in prison to suffer. For my money, this cuts out the middleman and the taxpayer funding, and he goes straight to hell. But they're the victims. They take priority over this. But what's funny is how does a guy who's allegedly on suicide watch because he tried to kill himself like a week earlier, suddenly get taken off of suicide watch and manage to hang himself with nobody noticing. Hang himself with a bed sheet, allegedly. Who knows how it will turn out there. This is going to... Let me just say right off the bat, it's more likely than not that he killed himself. If you're just looking at the things, the facts on the table, it's more likely than not that he just killed himself. He's a guy who's led, you know, a charmed life filled with money and women, and he can do whatever he wants, and he rolls with the powerful. Now he's facing the prospect of spending the rest of his life in a small prison cell and being exposed as a modern-day Caligula. You don't really expect somebody like that to adapt to that well, you know? So from that sense, I think it's more likely than not. I'm not ruling out any other possibilities, but it's more likely than not that he killed himself. That being said, knowing that if I can come up with it, and I'm sitting, you know, in suburban Washington, D.C., thinking that and having thought that from the very beginning, how in the hell do prison authorities not think that from the beginning and take every single precaution possible to make sure that he doesn't kill himself, that he doesn't have the opportunity to kill himself? That's where the fumble comes in. How do you take him off suicide watch? You know, nobody goes, well, he's trying to kill himself a week ago, but you know what? He hasn't tried to kill himself in like 7 days, so I think we can probably pretty much assume that he'll never do that again. Where is the logic in that? Where are the decision makers on this? Either way, there's got to be a massive investigation opened up in this thing. Because if it's, in the best case scenario, if everything checks out and everybody is on the up and up here, you're looking at an incredible case of gross misconduct and incompetence on behalf of the prison officials there. That's the best case scenario that you can hope for. I saw a story, well, the guards were on extreme overtime. What the hell does extreme overtime mean? Extreme overtime, unless you're working doctor's hours, residence hours, I should say, you can do your damn job. But that's not an excuse. Nothing about this seems right. Everything about this stinks. There are conspiracy theories abound. That's why we need a fast investigation, a quick investigation. Stories of the security cameras weren't working, and or the security cameras were not in that section of the prison. You name it, and everything possibly suspicious related to a prison suicide is in this case. It's absolutely nuts. How did this happen? We don't know yet. I suspect We'll never know to the satisfaction of the people who, and you may be one of them, who view this as, well, this is the Clintons. The Clintons have an ability to disappear people. I've jokingly sent out tweets about that, pictures of Hillary Clinton making hamburgers, saying that, you know, the new chef at the prison was going to deliver her meal to Jeffrey Epstein as a courtesy call herself. There's also the theories about the royal family, because Prince Albert was involved and friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Then there are the lefties who say that this is Donald Trump, and you got Joy Reid on MSNBC suggesting that maybe Trump did this, and who knows, William Barr, the attorney general, will never do a real investigation because he's got to protect the president. It invites all kinds of crazy. And in a sick, twisted way, if you know you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison, if your life is absolutely over and you're going to kill yourself, there could be an extra incentive in doing so by having this lunatic, or in this lunatic's mind, going, you know what? If I do this, there are going to be conspiracy theories nonstop, left and right, forever. And he's a guy who really, really enjoy. I mean, he's a sick man. So why not one more last thing to society? Nobody knows right now. Nobody has a clue right now. This is when media is dangerous. Because I can't go through every conspiracy theory. But when you live in a world with 24-hour news coverage, make no mistake, that's where we live. We live in a world with 24-hour news coverage. They have to fill that time. August is traditionally slower than any other month for news. So something like this happens, every network scrambles, get everybody on here, get a lawyer, get this lawyer, get a lawyer with a similar case, get a lawyer who once worked for this person, that person, get them out there. And then they throw in their pundits, usually, into the mix, which is becoming more and more common. They get pundits who have absolutely no connection to this case, to any case, and they have them out there weighing in on it. This is breeding ground for stupidity. If I could offer one bit of caution, one word of caution, one plea for sanity, it would be this. Don't believe anybody. Wait until we get official word. Wait until we hear something. Because every guest, every contributor, no matter what the cable channel, they're winging it. They're giving you their personal feelings, their personal opinions based on nothing but their spidey sense. And what's worse is many of them want to get back on. And the more incendiary you are, the more you get booked. That's just how it is. If you want to be booked more frequently on CNN and MSNBC, blame President Trump. It's that simple. If you want to be booked more frequently on Fox News, blame the Clintons. It's that simple. Maybe one of them had something to do with it. I don't know, but neither do they. And that's the problem. It's supposed to be news. What they're doing, what they're engaging in, is not news. Sometimes there is nothing new to report. Sometimes you just have to sit there and wait. Sometimes you just got to move on to another topic until you actually have something new to report. And they're not willing to do it. This is a dangerous time for the spread of stupid. So if I can urge you to do anything with the Epstein case, one, take comfort in the fact that he's rotting in hell. And then two, wait. Don't formulate any opinions. Have them, but don't let them solidify. Wait until we hear the facts in the case. All of this talk, there's reports left and right. He kept a diary, meticulous diary of all these things. There are a lot of incredibly powerful men implicated in lawsuits against him. Those will still go forward. They will go against his estate. Then these powerful men have a lot to lose, but they also have a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. Don't forget that. But make sure everybody is held accountable, no matter who they are. Be angry, be disgusted, be outraged. but don't fall for the wild speculation that always, always, always follows things like this. Not that we have these sorts of situations all the time. So if I could urge caution on anything, it's just believe what you want, but be open to the possibility that you're wrong. If you think he killed, look, I'm right on the middle. I think it's probably leaning more towards suicide just because I don't think a guy like that, a guy with those resources, a guy who led that life, whether or not he was a pedophile or not, he was surrounded by a bunch of women, he had more money than he knew what to do with, and he could do anything he wanted on the face of the earth, and suddenly that was all ripped away from him, and he didn't get bail, he wasn't going to get out, he was likely going to spend the rest of his life in prison. I don't think he was willing to do that. I don't think he was capable of doing that. I think he had all kinds of problems. And I think it's more likely than not that he killed himself. But if I found out that there were suspicious things going on, like the cameras suddenly stopped working that night and nobody saw anybody come or go, but there's a mysterious... I'm open to the possibility that somebody killed this guy because he was so interwoven into the lives of powerful and rich people, mostly Democrats. But I'm not going to point a finger at anybody. I don't think the Clintons are that powerful, to be perfectly honest with you, but I wouldn't be 100% surprised. usually when you're on your way up, you have all the power in the world. When you're on your way down, not so much. And Democrats, the Democratic power structure and the structure that used to exist for them, they've abandoned the Clintons in large part. So I would just urge caution. Be better than the media, which admittedly isn't hard. It's not a tall order. But I would just say be better than the media. And what do I mean by that? The worst conspiracy theory that I saw floated was a guy by the name of Mark Halperin. Remember Mark Halperin? Him and John Heilman, they wrote the Game Change book and the Double Down book, and they were being made, Game Change was made into a movie, and Double Down was going to be, and then Mark Halperin apparently, he got caught up in the Me Too movement. He was playing grab. Everybody over at MSNBC is playing grab ass. Well, he's got some effed up ideas. He tweeted this out, and I'm not kidding. He's a journalist trying to rehabilitate his image. And I'm not sure this is the way to go about it. He tweeted out, quote, "Not a conspiracy theory, but a question. If you assume the incompetence and or corruption required for Epstein to kill himself or to be murdered, why not believe he might have faked his own death via body double and escaped?" Now, there's crazy out there, and then there's Mark Halperin, the idea that, yeah, you got a body double. Okay, Mark, let's play your game for a second, just because you were an award-winning and well-respected journalist. He said, he goes on to say that, well, he's had all kinds of time to plan this. He could have done anything. You know, he knew this was coming. What would this require? This would require another person to have radical plastic surgery to look like Jeffrey Epstein, and then hang around on the proposition that he's going to die should Jeffrey Epstein ever be elected or arrested, right? So I don't know how much a gig like that pays, but it's not enough, especially if you're hired to be the sacrificial lamb / dead body double for someone who is very likely to be arrested, right? Somebody who's already been arrested, somebody's already faced charges. I just don't think that it's $1 billion, but you could, you know, have to be offed tomorrow. So you take the $1 billion, live it up for 24 hours, and then finally the police come knocking at the door? I don't think you're going to find anybody that way. Second, if there's just a body in cold storage waiting for Jeffrey Epstein to be arrested, and you bust that out whenever you need, whenever he gets, that there are telltale signs. Just like you can tell whether or not a chicken was frozen before, human beings have telltale signs, because human beings are just animals. So that's the craziest conspiracy theory I've seen so far. Now, granted, I haven't been looking for them, and I'm sure you've seen crazier, but they're going to get crazier. And they're going to be floated by people who have no freaking idea what they're talking about. keep that in mind. Wait and go forward. I personally believe that no one in our government, nor is our government competent enough to have pulled something like this off. Call me old-fashioned, call me cynical, but I just don't see anybody involved in this. Incompetence, I believe in incompetence of elected officials and of prison officials. That one seems most likely, but we shall see. We shall see. There's a lot of other things going on in the world, and there will be plenty of time, and I'm sure they'll have tons of audio with it of people going absolutely bat crap crazy about how Donald Trump had Jeffrey Epstein killed or Bill Clinton had Jeffrey Epstein killed, but it's more likely that Jeffrey Epstein had Jeffrey Epstein killed. Like I said, I don't like to linger on conspiracies. There are plenty of podcasts out there that are perfectly willing and able to just go wild on it and wildly speculate and not feel guilty about it whatsoever. Or just maybe if you're looking for the comfort food of the Clintons killed the Jeffrey Epstein, I'm sure you can find that too. But I try to keep it as reality-based as humanly possible here on the program because I find reality is, if you stick to reality, you end up having to correct yourself less. If you stick to the truth, you don't have to apologize as often in life. It's weird how that works, but it works that way in everything. Trust me. So I want to move on to a couple of other things because, believe it or not, there are other things going on in the world. There was Joe Biden. You almost feel bad for the guy. He is constantly stepping in it. He is constantly gaffing. And it's just kind of expected. It's just kind of, well, that's just Joe being Joe. What are you going to do? At an event, at a campaign event over the weekend, I want to, it's a serious topic. I shouldn't be laughing in the setup because if somebody is really in the early stages of dementia, you shouldn't mock them. But he is at a campaign event and he's trying to make a point about guns. I'll play you the audio. And see if you can spot what it is. I don't expect you to remember dates or anything like that, but maybe you'll catch this. And it's just the latest example of Sniffy Joe. I don't know, maybe since he can't sniff hair anymore, maybe he's sniffing glue? Who knows? Listen.
I watched what happened when the kids from Parkland marched up to, and I met with them, and then they went off to up on the hill when I was vice president. They went off the hill to go into those neighborhoods. All those congressmen were like, no, I'm not here. I'm not here. I don't tell them I'm around.
Did you catch it? Probably not. You have no reason to remember this, but the Parkland shooting was on Valentine's Day of last year. Last year being 2018. Joe Biden said that they came up and met with him while he was vice president, and then went running off to the Hill, and all the members of Congress were hiding from them. None of that is true. Joe Biden ceased being vice president on January 20th, 2017, and thank God for that. But here he is, projecting himself into something. Now, if this were a Republican, he would be crucified for this. He'd be absolutely crucified, trying to steal glory, saying that he was meeting with Parkland kids, and oh my God, he's trying to make himself involved in something that was popular at the time. It was a lie, or was it a mistake? Is there a good answer to that question? Those are the only two choices. Joe is lying, or Joe is senile. That's it. Those are the only two options. Can't be Joe. Oh, Joe was just wrong. It was a mistake anybody could have made. No, no, no. You don't give a personal testimonial about meeting with shooting victims and then use that meeting and those shooting victims to attack your political opponents without consequence. You don't get to get away with that. That's not okay, I guess maybe there's a third option. Joe is lying, he's senile, or he's evil. That would be it. That would be the only other option, because there's no reason for the Parkland shooting victims to meet with the former vice president of the United States. is there, to come to Washington? Hey, we're going to go up to Capitol Hill and harass members of Congress, but we wanted to swing by your home in Delaware because Joe Biden doesn't live in Washington, D.C. Joe Biden doesn't have a home in Washington, D.C. Joe Biden lives in Delaware. He only recently became a multi-multi-millionaire, and boy howdy has he been raking in the bucks, between $10 and $15 million now. Up until then, he did not maintain two residences. He would go home every night on the train to Delaware. That was part when he was in the Senate. That was part of his mystique and his charm, that he wasn't of Washington, he was of Delaware. So I don't give much credence to that third option. It's really only, is he lying, or is he senile? Now, there's a case to be made for both. He has been acting in a very strange way this time around and claiming things that were not true, forgetting words, switching which question he was answering in the middle of answering questions. So there's a couple of check marks in the column for senile. But he also has a history of lying. So you can see how this is very confusing. If we had an honest media, if we had journalists interested at all in doing their jobs, we would be able to get to the bottom of this. He was just mistaken, I'm sure, would be the party line, and that will be enough for our media if they bother to ask him about this at all. But I think it's an important thing to note. Joe Biden has a history of exaggeration, of placing himself, making himself seem bigger. Everybody knows somebody like this. Everybody is the hero in their own story, but most people keep their stories to themselves. And then you got that one loudmouth friend who recounts what happened to you and your buddies and him at the bar last weekend. And instead of getting into an argument with somebody in the group, you know, and it just diffusing, he's the guy who's like, I was ready to go, and oh man, I was going to step right up to this guy, and I was right in his face, and you're thinking, you were in the back. What the hell are you talking about? You weren't anywhere near there. Everybody knows that guy, and Joe Biden seems to be that guy. Or he's losing his mind. There's really no third viable option, even though I floated one. But speaking of options, at another campaign event, I believe this one was in Iowa, Joe Biden decided to talk about immigration. And it really is a woke-off. It's the woke Olympics over there in the Democratic Party. They're all for open borders. They're all for amnesty. They're all for giving them citizenship. They're all for making them citizens as quickly as possible so they can vote, preferably in the 2020 elections and preferably in the 2020 Democratic primary. Joe Biden, after watching more than a million people flood across the border last year illegally, more than a million people flood across the border in his last year in the Obama-Biden administration, and watching what's been going on down at the southern border now, thinks that we should let more people in. Pretty much, it's like buying beer in Detroit. If you can carry it to the counter, they'll sell it to you. They won't bother asking you for ID. If you can make it to the border, you're in. That's the Joe Biden way. Listen to how many people he says that we can absorb. He not only wants to absorb all of the illegal aliens that he's going to assign a huge number to, all the people, quote unquote, seeking amnesty because they live in a crappy economy, which is not grounds for amnesty legally at all, by the way. He also wants to increase the number of legal immigrants. And when you're talking to a Democrat about legal immigration, illegal immigration, the people they want flooding into this country are not high-skilled people. They fear, they loathe, they oppose a merit-based immigration system. So he's talking about people who do not speak the language, who are likely illiterate in their own language. It's not an insult. It's just a statement of fact. They don't exactly have state-of-the-art education systems down there. People aren't learning to read or write. So listen to Crazy Joe float a number out there. I'm not sure who he thinks outside. This is why it doesn't really matter who the Democrats nominate. They're all crazy. Joe Biden had an opportunity to be the sane voice of reason and moderation in the Democratic Party. with his time in the Obama administration. He has the bona fides to appeal to the loony fringe in a way. But he also could have tried to scold them when they go off the rails and go too far on things like open borders. Instead, he's trying to co-opt the lunatic fringe, which really means there's no difference between him and anybody else. And you think, well, this is the party of wokeness, the party who sits there and whines about too many white guys, old white guys in power. They're going to be less likely to nominate somebody who's an old white guy if you can get the exact same thing by voting for somebody who's not an old white guy. If there's no choice, if there's no difference, why not choose differently? And Joe Biden is, instead of differentiating himself from the herd, he's trying to blend into the herd, or he's just, again, losing his mind. Listen, figure out for yourself.
We could afford to take in a heartbeat another 2 million people. The idea that a country of 330 million people cannot absorb people who are in desperate need and who are justifiably fleeing oppression is absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. I would also move to increase the total number of immigrants able to come to the United States.
Are you ready for that? Taking in 2 million more no-skilled illegal aliens? They're fleeing because of corruption, not because of violence. Corruption. They're violating amnesty laws. They're supposed to seek asylum in the first safe country they come to, which is any of the countries they marched through to get here. And Joe Biden's saying, yeah, come on, bring it on. Give us 2 million more. We can take 2 million more. Plus, we want more than 1 million legal immigrants a year. But if you say, well, is that going to be based on merit? Suddenly, you're a racist. You say, hey, you know, are we going to get the best and the brightest from around the world? No. You can't possibly do that. That's a Republican talking point. You just want to cherry pick everybody. Yeah, we do. We should look at it and say, what's in it for us? Why should we let you in? Be like every club on the planet. Be like every other country on the planet. Countries don't allow you just to move there. Hell, they don't let you stay very long when you go and visit. I mean, you can stay for a while. You can study there if you're a student and you're on a student visa, but you don't get to stay afterwards just because you want to. Hey, I really like this. No, you've got to prove. Why should we let you? That's the important question the rest of the world asks. Canada does that. But here, it's just, come on in. Once you get in, it's fine. Here's your voter registration card. We've already filled it out for you. You just make your X right there on the line. We'll call it a day and everything will be good. Joe Biden, really? I really was worried about Joe Biden early on in the primary system, early on in the primary season, because I thought he would... If anybody on the left could do a Sister Souljah moment, which in 1992, Sister Souljah was a rapper, and her, I don't know if she was ever popular, but she got famous mostly by saying that it was a rash of, you know, black-on-black shootings again. And Sister Souljah did an event, I think it was at the National Press Club or something, where she said, maybe we should stop shooting each other for a week and start shooting white people, then the media would pay attention, which, you know, has its own validity to it. But this caused outrage. Bill Clinton came out and delivered a forceful condemnation of her as saying that, you know, there's no room for this sort of talk and violence and blah, blah, blah. In our society, he basically told her she went too far. She crossed the line, and it was unacceptable. The point she was trying to make still stands today. Look at Chicago. Over 1,600 people have been shot this year in Chicago alone, and nobody bothers talking about it because they're mostly black. And if they'd been white, then yes, the media would have paid attention to it. So she wasn't wrong. She was inartful, but she wasn't wrong. But Bill Clinton got a lot of support from Democrats who were wildly uncomfortable with Sister Souljah's language. So when he came out, he was kind of a bit of a hero to the moderate left, because Bill Clinton to that point had been portrayed as a left-wing loon. Joe Biden could have had the similar thing. Joe Biden could have had a similar sort of sister soldier slash come to Jesus moment where he stands up and condemns Antifa, or he stands up and he condemns the loony left about any number of issues, you name it. Socialized medicine, Medicare for all, whatever they want to call it, single payer. If he comes out and says, look, we can't do that. It's too expensive. People like what they have now, and I'm just not going to get on board for that. And we're not that party or open borders. We need to have our borders, and we need to secure our border. We can be more compassionate, but blah, 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 blah. That would have pulled him out from the herd. But instead, he's calculated that he's going to go the other way. He's going to just appeal to the fringe, desperately try to appeal to the lunatics, blend into the herd and hope he sneaks past the lions and nobody notices him. His biggest problem is that it may well be that nobody will notice him, that everybody will look and say, well, it's all the same stuff. Whatever box we open, it sucks. So why should we go for the old white guy who's a box of socks, when we can go for the exciting young gay guy or the exciting young black woman? Joe Biden is taking the safe path to defeat, I think. Mark the date, because I suspect that's what's happening. While we're on the subject of illegal immigration, and before we get to the lighter moments in the program, because the bit coming up is really funny, I want to point out something that isn't funny, that is downright sad, and that didn't have to be. And this should be something that Democrats have to answer for every single freaking time they're near a reporter, but they won't, because these corrupt, in-the-tank frauds will never ask it. There's a tragic story out of Denver, Colorado. A father of five named Sean Buchanan was killed while riding his motorcycle on August 2nd. He was killed by a man named Miguel Ramirez Valiente. I believe that's how you pronounce it. He's an illegal alien. He has been fighting since 2011 to stay in the country. And this, again, this country's justice system is so screwed up. This is how you get people on death row for 40 years. He'd been fighting since 2011. And he has a DUI. He has domestic violence problems in his past. There is nothing remotely good that should keep this guy in this country, that should have kept this guy in this country. But there he is. He's in this country. He was the subject of a CNN report. I mean, this is how sick these people are. A CNN story from January 9th, 2019. The headline? He says the shutdown forced him to seek sanctuary. Oh, no. Poor guy. CNN reported back then, an undocumented immigrant in Colorado says he's taken shelter in a church because the government shutdown leaves him with no other choice. Miguel Ramirez Valiente is facing a deportation order, but his lawyer says right now he has no way to fight it. Most immigration courts are shuttered because of the shutdown. Wah, wah, wah. You've had 9 freaking years to get your act, or 8 years to get your act together, to win, and you haven't won. Get the hell out of here. Curiously omitted from the CNN story, the glowing love story of him, was his criminal history, was his domestic violence problems, was his DUI. There was no mention of reckless driving. He's also been arrested for reckless driving. None of that. It was just, oh, this sweet, nourishing, innocent, illegal alien minding his own business, trying to provide for his family, and that evil Donald Trump is trying to deport these people, or this man. He's just so sweet. Well, now, Sean Buchanan, 45 years old, father of five, married father of five, is dead because of it. See what compassion gets you? Our laws exist for a reason. If you don't like them, change them. But you won't hear the story of Sean Buchanan in the mainstream media because it doesn't fit the narrative. How does that help? The only way that the media eventually covered the Kate Steinle murder was because they had no choice. It had blown up to the point in social media where they couldn't ignore it. They'll be able to ignore Sean Buchanan. And in a twist of sad irony, Sean Buchanan was an activist for immigrant rights. Five kids without a father because of an illegal alien with a history of arrests and criminal convictions. Driving illegally, by the way, his license was suspended because of his DUI last year, which should have gotten him deported, but it wasn't reported. And now he's out again and he kills a father of five riding a motorcycle. Every Democrat should be forced to answer for this. None of them will. It won't be an issue because our media is that corrupt. Speaking of corrupt media, I want to play this clip for you of Beto O'Rourke. He was on with Jake Tapper, and Jake asked a kind of interesting question, a kind of difficult question, to put Beto on the spot a little bit, basically saying, if you vote for Donald Trump, are you a racist? You say Donald Trump's a white supremacist, a racist. Is voting for Donald Trump, does that make you a white supremacist, a racist? Beto's answer goes off on a tangent and repeats every lie that every Democrat repeats constantly. The very fine people, blah, 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 the murderers and rapists. Everything, every checklist down there. Jake Tapper's follow-up question, the only reason I'm playing this, because you've heard Beto say this before. Jake Tapper's follow-up question was to thank Beto for coming on the show and to end the segment. No follow-up whatsoever. A Democrat can go on television and lie, flat-out lie, a string of lies to somebody who knows better and get away with it. And if Jake Tapper is one of the good ones, what chance do we have against the rest?
You said to me last week that you thought President Trump was a white nationalist. I just wonder, sir, President Trump won your home state of Texas by 9 points. Almost 63 million Americans voted for him. Do you think it's racist to vote for President Trump in 2020?
I think it's really hard after everything that we've seen from his time as a candidate in 2016 to his repeated warnings of invasions, to his repeated calls to send them back, sending back people who are U.S. citizens, sending back people who were born in this country, his description of white nationalists and Klansmen and neo-Nazis as very fine people, his warnings of Muslims as being somehow inherently defective or dangerous and attempting to ban them from entry into the country, his transgender troop ban, and his attack on anyone who does not look like or pray like or love like the majority of this country. Yes, Donald Trump is dangerous to the future of America and will destroy what makes us so unique and so special and the genius that we represent to ourselves and to the rest of the world. And so I appeal to my fellow Americans to choose a candidate who will bring this very divided and highly polarized country together, who will work on the issues before us, whether it is health care or an economy that includes everyone or immigration or confronting climate before it is too late, and doing it in a way that speaks to the best of us, that is ambitious, that is not fearful of the future and does not try to divide us on our differences. That's exactly what Donald Trump is doing right now.
All right. Thank you, Beto. Good luck to you out there. Keep calling the president a racist. Beto has never gotten more media airtime than he has since he suspended his campaign. His campaign is supposedly suspended, yet he's campaigning constantly. He's just sticking around where the media is. But Jake Tapper saw nothing in what Beto just said there worth doing any sort of follow-up whatsoever. Calls him out on none of the lies, just lets it go. Because our media is corrupt and journalism is dead. All right, next, I want to play a bunch of clips. They're all strung together, but it's really hilarious because this is, honest to God, a real thing that was up on Huffington Post the other day. People are not having children because of the climate change. This is from when I filled in on the radio on Friday, and rather than try to recreate it, I think it was damn near perfect the way it was. So I thought, why not just play it the way it was? After the first segment, my buddy Brian Darling, frequent guest on this program, who has a fan in Scotland, joins, and hilarity ensues. Stuff. I want to do a little bit of mocking of our friends on the left, as they like to say down on Capitol Hill. Nobody likes anybody on Capitol Hill, but they always have to say that, oh, my dear friend, my sweet, sweet, nourishing friend. The Huffington Post has this ridiculous story, Letters from Readers. And the headlines, and it says it all, 9 people on the ethics of having kids in an era of climate change. You think, what? Yes, they put out the call for lunatic lefties. You can only imagine, these are the 9 best that they could come up with. You can only imagine the ones that didn't make the cut. And if you remember back to, or if you listen to my podcast, and you know when I use the Civil War music, when the government shutdown was going on with the shutdown stories, I thought it would be appropriate. Some of these, it just shows how unhinged they are. So we thought we'd bring the music back. These are real letters from Huffington Post readers. I'm one of those women facing that decision, and I felt utterly alone and unheard. It's caused me deep depression and anxiety, and I've always known that I wanted to experience pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. But now that the planet's future is so bleak and our leaders are so unwilling to act, it seems as though it would be incredibly selfish and morally reprehensible for me to decide to bring a person into the world I know they likely won't be able to live a full life in. Good Lord. It feels as though my decision of whether or not to have a child is being yanked away from me. Mental health professionals are not prepared to handle this scenario. I've tried to seek help to deal with the sadness and anger I feel about this. And every counselor or psychiatrist I've visited has essentially told me, that's a weird thing to be concerned about. Or I should just do whatever I want. Friends and family are also unsympathetic and insensitive, telling me I'm making a big deal out of a future they don't think is necessarily guaranteed. Or the fact that I'm even having these thoughts mean that, deep down, I don't want kids anyway. Knowing that there are others struggling with this decision is helpful. Signed, Ashley. If you're going to mental health professionals and they're going, yeah, you're kind of crazy there, then maybe you're being manipulated. Maybe you're crazy. Maybe you should stop being crazy, because this is all self-imposed crazy. You're reading the Huffington Post and going, man, I can't possibly bring a child into this. That would be wrong. And Huffington Post is running these as if somebody reads this and goes, well, now I think about it completely differently, and maybe I shouldn't have children as well. They want population control. Since the 70s, they have been warning about overpopulation and people dying and starving to death and mass famine. And of course, it didn't happen. Like I said, there are 9 of these letters. So please bring back the music. We got another one here. This letter is entitled, go ahead, I had a vasectomy because I was terrified. I had a vasectomy 10 years ago. 10 years ago. We were told 20 years ago we only had 10 years and we'd all be dead. I had a vasectomy 10 years ago because I was terrified that I might accidentally get my girlfriend pregnant. I have been worried about the future of our planet for as long as I can remember. I liken having a child to buying a loved one a ticket on the Titanic, knowing it would sink. At the time I decided to have a vasectomy, my doctor tried to talk me out of it. He said a reversal is expensive and not always successful, and that I would probably regret it. I have yet to regret it. In fact, with every passing year since, I've become more confident I made the right decision. Me too, buddy. It was a very easy decision for me. I just asked myself, if I had a choice, would I want to be born today? The answer is no. Signed, Michael S., 42. I mean, this guy had a vasectomy at 32 years of age. And he's like, yeah, that's a series of bad decisions right there by Michael S. These are real people. These are real. I have some of these I haven't read yet. I just saw the headline and I'm like, I've got to do this. And I thought that, so maybe there's a sad tale of woe in here and maybe there isn't. But let's have it again, because no, there's always more. There's always more. Restart it. It's got to get that opening thing from Ken Burns there. It's, good Lord. These people vote. Your vote counts as much as theirs. I saw the climate crisis coming and decided not to reproduce. We could not continue taking and taking as if the Earth's resources were infinite. We could not continue to poison our air, food, and water. We could not continue to reproduce at historic rates and expect never to reach a breaking point where the Earth could no longer sustain us. From time to time, I have been called selfish for my decision, as if I somehow owed the world another human being. It's true that my childless status has allowed me a degree of personal freedom that people with children do not have. But some of that freedom is freedom from fear and guilt for the destiny to which I have consigned my offspring. I have never even for a moment regretted my decision. Faith, 68. She's 68 years old. Let's just play the math game here. Her fertile years ended 30 years ago. So 1989-ish in there, and that was probably pushing it back then. So we'll probably say safely 1985 or when her fertile years ended. You got to go back to another 15 years. So she's since like 1970. She bought the first round. She bought into this crap when it was still global cooling, when there were warnings about the coming ice age. And she, the coming ice age, I don't want my children in there. And she bought the first round of overpopulation starvation. And when that didn't come to pass, when the population bomb, I think the book was called, didn't come to pass in 10 years and there was mass famine, even though the world population doubled, she never thought, maybe they were lying to me. And instead, she just kept on trucking. When it went from global cooling to global warming, she's like, yeah, well, that's the exact opposite of the problem they were telling me when I started this thing. But still, I'm on board. I don't care. Unquestioning loyalty. You know who gets unquestioning loyalty? Cults. This is a freaking cult, and this is just a couple of them. There's still many more of these letters to come. I might have to keep reading them. I'm joined. I thought I'd throw him a bone, bring my buddy in, Brian Darling. He's the president of Liberty Government Affairs.
Got it right.
A longtime Senate staffer. He's worked for more senators than most people can name, which is code for you can't hold a job.
Yeah, swamp creature.
Brian, you've heard these sad tales of woe from the Huffington Post about these people who are not going to have children because of the climate crisis.
We have some really crazy people in this country. It's just so ridiculous, but so funny.
It is, and we don't mean to laugh at them.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I was trying to be nice. It doesn't. I don't wear it well.
I want to laugh at them. I want to meet them and laugh in their face.
Well, do you want to hear another one of these letters?
Please.
This is from a Huffington Post article. It's up there. I'm sure you can find it pretty easily. It's new. The headline of it is 9 People on the Ethics of Having Kids in an Era of Climate Crisis. I read a New York Times article called Losing Earth, the Decade We Almost Stopped Climate Change. I was browsing articles late at night before going to bed, and my body went cold as I started to read. I ultimately felt sick and almost started crying. I couldn't believe it. The image of a docile post-climate world had shattered. We won't be using tote bags at the grocery store in 2050 because we don't know if we will have enough food and water. Over the next few days, the question of children began to gnaw at me. Would I be able to show my future children the beauty of the natural world as my parents had done for me? Will my favorite places, the Pacific Northwest Forest, mountains, and islands of my childhood, she led a pretty fun life,
yeah,
be clear-cut, burnt in wildfires, or underwater by the time they are old enough to appreciate them? What will I do if there isn't enough clean water for them to drink? To combat my fears, I started volunteering. I opened my ears to stories and experiences of those most vulnerable to the crisis, People who are marginalized by their geographical location, race, class, and ability. Every little box has got to be checked in these weird people's minds. Since reading the article, I have done the following. Looked up doctors who are willing to perform tubal ligations on someone my age, started crying in the baby section at Goodwill, and made family events awkward with my profession that the future is too grim for me to personally decide right now to have children. Signed, Allie, 27.
Loser.
She's 27 and she's going to go get her tubes tied.
Can you imagine going out for a beer with your friends and you're all hanging out and somebody just starts spouting this stuff?
They just start weeping.
Yeah, like, you're crying, like, what's wrong? Are you okay?
Don't you understand? Oh, this is all going to be underwater soon.
Oh, it's over. Climate change is just going to overrun us.
I looked
up
the article that she said. It's from the New York Times Magazine, Losing Earth, the decade we almost stopped climate change. It is from August 1st, 2018. And the decade is from 1979 to 1989.
That was when we should have done it. Now it's over.
Forget it. Let's have a party.
Let's mail it in.
But I remembered from researching my book, Outrage Incorporated. I went and looked. I found this article, and here it is. It's from San Jose Mercury News. I believe it's a UPI article. A senior environmental official at the United Nations, Noel Brown, says entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if global warming is not reversed by the year 2000.
Oh, no. Which nations got wiped out? I missed it.
Canada's still here?
I'm not sure.
Let's hope not. But this is from 1989. Oh. We got 10 years. 2000, it's over. Oh. If you're if you're the leader of a doomsday cult, you say, that's it, Sunday, it's over. Everybody get their ducks in a row. The spaceship behind the Hale-Bopp comet is coming to pick us up. Monday morning, you're probably going to lose some followers. Yeah, Climate change? Nope.
But to be honest, these doomsday cults usually come up with an excuse and why the doomsday event didn't happen. And then they come up with a new date.
I misread it. It's after I die.
I was wrong. It wasn't yesterday. It's in another 5 years.
Could you imagine? 27 years old, she's going to go get her tubes tied.
What an idiot. I mean, seriously, like, how deranged do you have to be to just, like, cry all the time and worry about climate change to the point that you're not going to have kids? You're going to ruin your life because you're just so worried about the future. It's over. It's crazy.
But that Faith, the 68-year-old, she's already all in. she's seen the climate change, global warming and global cooling. All right, let's do another one, shall we? Go ahead.
Please.
And
these
pull
are
up
too
that
good.
Music. We really feel like we made the right choice not having children. And for now, we are happy with our decision. But in our current society, people are not always very welcoming to new social norms, like deciding not to have children. Because if everybody decided it, we wouldn't have any society to have social norms. It's a constant battle with emotions that we shouldn't be there in the first place. But it's truly hard not to feel bad when people keep asking what's wrong with us. And even when you tell them that it's a choice, they don't believe you and say things like, why haven't we tried fertility clinics? Or maybe I should wear boxers instead of briefs. Who are you hanging out with? Just really insensitive and sometimes funny, but never very nice. It's finally getting to the point where society is a little more aware of what's going on, but it's not going to take long. A long time before we get there. And I hope that our future doesn't end up so bad for the sake of all the children that will be living in the world at that time. Signed, Trino Avello, 38.
Wow.
He doesn't want to have children because I bet he had a horrible childhood with that name.
It's just... I just can't imagine having that conversation where you're talking with somebody and you say, oh, you know, married, do you have any kids yet? No. We're not going to have any.
Don't you know that you're all going to be dead in 12 years? Don't you follow AOC on Twitter?
What's wrong with you? You have kids? How could you bring them into this world?
Everybody says I'm crazy. Then maybe you are. We'll continue after this. Stop having children for the sake of the planet. Liberals are actually doing that. It's Derek Hunter here. I got Brian Darling in studio, my buddy, my friend. You've polluted the planet with three children.
I know.
And I've polluted it so far with two.
Oh, the future that they have to not look forward to, it's just devastating. Well, it makes me want to sob.
You're going to have another one, right?
No.
Can't.
No, I did what those crazy liberals did.
You did what the 32-year-old did.
With it for a much different reason.
Because three's enough. Three's enough. As you'd be happy to destroy the planet, just not with children.
Yes.
If they came out 3 years old and you didn't have to change a diaper, it'd be a different story. Let's do another one. These are fun.
Please.
These are a lot
Please.
Of fun. I do not feel like it's a topic I can broach with my friends who do already have children, or with my family. I'm worried I'd come across as judgmental of their decisions to have kids, or just make them feel really badly about their child's future. Yeah, or maybe they'll think you're crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to make them feel... My husband and I got married this past December. We've been together for 10 years. We've always assumed we'd have kids and even have names picked out. Once the how romantic this line is going to be, a Hallmark card. Once the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report came out in 2018, I felt like my whole world was rocked, and ever since I've seriously questioned the morality of bringing children into this world.
Now who would think a UN report would serve as birth control?
Exactly. My sister is currently pregnant with her second child, and while I'm thrilled for her because she is the most incredible mom, I'm also terrified. Our families keep asking us when my husband and I will have children, as if it's a given. I'm not sure if we ever will have kids. I'm not sure they'd understand or think we are being crazy. I think they are living in denial. Name withheld, 31.
What a complete idiot.
You know what? It's a better world without these people reproducing.
But why do people ruin their lives over a UN climate change report? Everything was fine. Then I read this UN report, and that changed everything.
I was at the beach with friends. We were playing some beach volleyball, and during some downtime, I decided to crack out the IPCC report, as, you know, everybody does. That's just...
Have you seen the IPCC report?
I had finished reading a series of Supreme Court dissents and legislation that didn't get passed, and I thought, why not read the IPCC report?
Ooh, and it terrified me.
I had far too much time on my hands and thought, I've got to burn some of this.
Yes.
And so I read the IPCC report. These people are nuts.
They're crazy.
I don't know. Let's see. We'll read one more. One more, shall we? I have one child who is 2 years old. Climate change and my anxiety surrounding it played a very big part in my and my husband's decision to have only one child. It took me a long time, 5 years into our marriage, 37 years into life, before we conceded we wanted to have one. My mind was consumed by the thoughts of what kind of future my child would have, and I still think about it more days than not. What will be left for him and for other children at his school? My friends' children, my extended family's children, how will it affect them? This problem feels so big, so overwhelming, that I often feel dejected and hopeless, even about the efforts I'm making. Those fears keep me up at night. I worry about my son's access to food, clean water, and other resources that may be affected by climate change. When I see his innocent smile and how happy he is, I often feel tremendous sadness. With all of this anxiety, I can't believe I had one child.
Mommy.
Name withheld, 39.
Mommy, Daddy, why don't I have any brothers and sisters? Two words, son, climate change.
Better yet, Mommy, Daddy, why is it every time I'm having fun, you're standing in the corner crying? What's going on?
You're ruining my childhood, Mom. Knock it off. You're freaking me out, man. I'm 18. This is my high school graduation. And you're just choking people, telling them the world is coming to an end. You can't come to my party, Mom. Go away. Ah, the rational left.
Of course, there is no rational left. We're back. And we're done. There you go. Thank you for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. I hope you enjoyed that. I thought that was damn funny. And we'll keep up on everything else that goes on this week. But, there you go. Thank you again. We'll see you on Tuesday.
We could afford to take in a heartbeat another 2 million people.